and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod. We're currently living in a time where there's seemingly a lot of negativity on the news and social media. So we're here to show you that that's not the case. We find great things happening around the world and to celebrate positive news rather than making it a token piece at the end of a news bulletin. We'll be talking to each other as well as guests and see how they're celebrating positivity. This won't be preachy and it won't be political. Our plan is to be positive and hopefully have a good laugh along the way. My name's Ben P and welcome to episode 56 of Two Peas in a Pod! That was quite high.
Hello!
How's it going, guys? How's everybody's week been? Hopefully everyone's doing alright. Happy Tuesday. We're currently recording on Tuesday, which is obviously normally release day for us. But yeah, so this should be released on Wednesday, the 19th. But yeah, hope everyone's doing alright. Kez sends his love. He should be back very, very soon. But yeah, he sends his love, everybody. So how's everyone's week been? How's everything been, everyone? It's been a wicked week, I've got to say. First off, I did some training. I was back in the Marlowe Theatre, which was amazing. It was just so brilliant to be back in that theatre, to be seeing so many of my old colleagues and stuff from the lighting department, sound department, stage department, all the departments there. It was literally just something as, you know, I say, mundane, but something as normal as just like, right, we're going through some fire training, welcoming back everyone into the theatre, doing some, you know, basic things that we need to do for each department. And yeah, just stepping into a theatre again was amazing. It was so cool. It was just so brilliant. So, and just what a commendable shout out has to go out to the Marlowe Theatre and everything that they've been able to do and everything they've been able to achieve for this whole pandemic, for everything they've been doing. So kudos to the guys, behind the scenes, both in the world of admin, front of house and back of house. Big love to you all. What else have I been up to this week? Oh, quite important news. I got my first jab, the first vaccine jab. So that was amazing. That was another bit of gratitude-based stuff happening there. So yeah, I was on Saturday afternoon, just after I'd finished work, I went down to the Ramsgate, to the, I think it's called a Saga Centre. The situation they've got there is amazing. They've just, you know, it's really COVID safe. It's really well thought out and planned. People coming in, people coming out situation, everyone dotted around in their own little bubbles, I suppose, of each individual chairs. And, you know, whenever I've had injections in the past, it's always been, you know, this big moment of like, oh, you know, this is going to hurt. Is this going to be okay? And by the time I'd realized that they'd started, it was out. It was so quick. It was just like in, out, done. You know, for those who maybe have a little bit of reservations and stuff for receiving an injection and stuff, maybe they're a bit apprehensive about getting the jab in that regard. You know, it was just so quick. It was so easy. And everybody there, that whole team has just done such a great job. Making you feel incredibly comfortable and incredibly just, you know, just blessed to be there. You know, it was really, really wicked. So kudos to those guys over there and the entirety of the team of the NHS. Really, really good. So as you may well have been aware, if you've been listening to the last few episodes, Kez and I are currently doing the 100 Miles in May challenge. So by that, we are cycling 100 miles in the month of May. Currently, I'm on good course. I'm not quite sure on Kez's total at the moment, but for me, I'm on about 65, 66 miles, I think, off the top of my head. I've been logging as I go, but yeah, which is about right for about halfway through May. So I'm in a good place. I'm happy with where I'm at, rather than sort of leaving it to the last week and go, right, I've got to do 25 miles a day. Oh my goodness. So that's all going well. Now, our fundraising page at the moment, www.gofundme.com/F/100milesinmaychallenge, is doing really, really well. So thank you everybody who's donated so far. But you know, every donation counts. And for this fundraising challenge, we are going to be raising money for Porchlight. Porchlight is an absolutely incredible charity based here in Kent. And, you know, they're looking after homeless people, but they do so much more, which we're going to find out about. We talked to Sophie Batchelor, one of the people who work for Porchlight, and she's going to be our interview guest this week. I didn't quite realise, you know, just how much they do. You know, you got like a bit of an idea, but the more you sort of chatted to Sophie, the more you kind of realised, right, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this. And like the work that they do is so monumental, and there is so much stuff going on that you don't even realise. Absolutely incredible work. So it's a real privilege and a pleasure to be able to raise money for them. So I think without further ado, let's get straight into it. Let's have a chat with Sophie. You're going to enjoy this one. Let's get to it. So we are extremely privileged to be joined by a member of the Porchlight family, the chosen charity for our fitness challenge. Joining me, we have Sophie Batchelor. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So first and foremost, for those who don't necessarily know, how did Porchlight start?
So it started quite a while ago now, in 1974. So we've been going for quite a long time. And it started as just a single hostel in Canterbury. Mm-hmm. Now it's what we are today, which is Kent's largest charity for homeless and vulnerable people. And we've got services all over Kent. So yeah, we've come a long way since 1974.
Yeah, nice. And so what are some of the services that Porchlight provides, you know, today, with it sort of being so expanded from where it was before?
We have got so many services. So I'm going to tell you a bit about them today, but they'll only kind of like scratch the surface because we have so many. So I'll tell you about the kind of main ones that we've got. So we have our helpline, which is a complete lifeline for people in crisis. Mm-hmm. But it's a 24-hour helpline. You can call at any time, night or day. It's completely free to call. And I think it's important to point out that it's not just for people that are sleeping rough that they can contact us through that helpline. It's actually for people who might be on the verge of losing their home as well, so on the verge of homelessness. So they call us, they're put through to an advisor, and then we can either put them in touch with some of the services that we run to support them, or it might be giving them advice to contact their local council. So yeah, that is a real lifeline for people. And I've been lucky enough to sit in and actually listen into the helpline. And I've got to say, the people that work for the helpline are absolutely incredible in what they do and the advice they give. And yeah, they're inspiring people, I would say.
Nice.
So that's the helpline. We've also got our rough sleeper service. Mm-hmm. So that's where people, they're called our outreach team. They go out super, super early at like 5:30 in the morning to actually find people that are sleeping rough. Mm-hmm. And again, that's all over Kent. So in Canterbury, again, I was lucky enough to go on one in Folkestone a few months ago. And I was only meant to be there for about an hour. And I was actually there for 3.5 hours. And that was just due to the amount of people that we were finding sleeping rough. So it was a completely eye-opening and harrowing experience. I'm so glad I got to do it because it helps me do my job better as a fundraiser when I know the incredible work that Porchlight does. So that's our rough sleeper service. We've also got our BU service. So that's for people who identify as LGBT or they might be questioning their gender. And we know from research that we've done that they are more at risk of becoming homeless because they might come out to their carers or parents and then, you know, they might be kicked out of their home. So we offer a kind of safe place and support for them to speak freely and, you know, get them to where they want to be in life as well. So that's a really important service, and it's for young people as well. Yeah, so I think we support, I think it's from age 8.
Wow.
So it's quite young, and obviously really, really important that we have that. And then lastly, because I'll be here speaking forever otherwise about services, we've got our work, health and learning team. So they're kind of community hubs, so to speak, out and about in, you know, again, places like Canterbury. We've got some where I live in Margate. And they're kind of like a drop-in that people can go to. And it gets them, again, to where they want to be in their life. So whether that be, you know, getting qualifications that they want, maybe they want to volunteer. So all the kind of things that, you know, might have happened to them from the trauma of sleeping rough, we get them to where they want to be, which is really important. Now, obviously, due to COVID, that we had to close most of the hubs down. So a lot of it went online. Obviously, we're opening them back up now. But it was really nice to see, again, I sat in on some of the online things we did, yoga, mindfulness.
Oh, great, nice.
Quizzes, which were really cool. And what else? Oh, cooking tutorials, which I loved.
Nice. That's really cool.
Horrible. I know everyone felt really isolated in COVID, but especially the people that we support. So I think it was really important to keep those going. So that's us in a nutshell. Nice. I won't talk anymore because I could talk for ages.
I know, that's great. No, it's amazing to see so many, you know, incredible services that you guys are providing, and more than, you know, you initially realised. That's really cool. And so what is it that you do within the charities sort of specifically?
So my official job role is community and corporate fundraising officer. So what that means is I ask for donations or get donations from companies or schools, Rotary clubs, individual people that are doing fundraising challenges like you guys are, which is amazing. And also really important that I'm going out and talking to people again. Due to COVID, I'm going to have to keep on saying the COVID word.
Yeah.
Everything's been done over this. So we've been on Zoom, been on Teams. But, you know, kind of educating people about what we do and the people that we support as well. Because that's really, really important. So I'm actually really looking forward to next week. I've got my first face-to-face meeting with someone, which I'm really excited about. And I'm really excited to be going into schools as well, because we run workshops and it kind of, educates children on, you know, why someone might become homeless and the different barriers that people face as well. Looking forward to getting back into the real world soon.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. From a COVID point of view, like, how is that compared to, say, like in previous years that you've been aware of, where maybe has there been more sort of like traffic of people that you've seen sort of coming and going, and how's it affected those who use your services?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously we've been doing a lot of kind of analysing, you know, the calls that have come through to the helpline. There's been a dramatic increase in those. I think they've doubled.
Right.
And also the length of the calls as well have doubled. So, you know, whereas before someone might have been on the phone for, say, 5 minutes, you know, the calls are now 10, 12 minutes long. And I think that just shows, you know, how much people are struggling with their mental health. I know everyone has struggled, and, you know, COVID has affected all of us in one way or another, because it's kind of changed, you know, our lives. But the people that we support, they're the ones that are being hit hardest by the pandemic. And the Rough Sleeper service that I was telling you about earlier, the referrals to that have doubled as well. So there's been such a like dramatic increase on our services, and I think that's why it's important that we do need support more than ever at the moment. Because I think now we're only, obviously things are opening and that's great and restrictions are easing, but I don't feel we haven't really seen the full effect of the pandemic. And I think obviously this will, you know, go on this year.
No, that's, that's really interesting, isn't it? That like, so, you know, once, like you say, restrictions are easing, there's definitely going to be like a, I suppose, a fallout after the fact of, if all goes ahead, June 21st, let's see what happens with the, you know, Indian variant and all that sort of thing. But if all being well, you know, they'll, like you say, for the rest of the year, I suppose there'll be a bit of a fallout from a, you know, either financial or mental health point of view, for sure.
Definitely. I think there's quite a shocking figure that I can give you. We've predicted that just over 3,000 people are at risk of becoming homeless because of the pandemic. So that's quite a shocking figure. And bearing in mind, that's just in Kent. Like, we're only a Kent-based charity. So, you know, that's not even looking at the whole of the UK. So, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is definitely worrying. But yeah, we're going to be there, obviously, for people that need us. But it's why we definitely need support more than ever.
And, you know, what's been really interesting to me is when I've been, you know, looking at sort of the website and things and looking at what you guys do, it's been really interesting to me to seeing that not only people are sleeping on the streets and sort of, you know, you're, as you say, like you're there 5:30 in the morning and, you know, finding people sort of sleeping rough, but it's also the people, you don't really think about it as homeless, you think of people on the streets, not necessarily people who are sofa surfing or staying at hostels and B&Bs and don't have anything to call their own. I think it's just a really interesting people who are homeless, you kind of almost forget that little point. How do they end up using your services, in the same way, or is it a little bit different for them?
I mean, it's like sofa surfing. Before I worked for Porchlight, you know, you would think, well, that's not someone that's sleeping rough, because they've got a, you know, they're sleeping on a sofa, but that is, they're still classed as homeless, because it's like you said, they don't have a place to call their own. And I don't know if you saw back in lockdown one, so back in March, the government did something called Everyone In, and it was a campaign where they did that first weekend that we went into lockdown, whenever it was, the 23rd of March or whatever. And we managed to get, I think it was something like 385 people that were sleeping rough off the streets and then into places like B&Bs. They went into travel lodges, Premier Inns for that weekend. And a lot of those people we've now put into, because that's classed like our very temporary accommodation, we put them into more kind of like long-term places to live, which is really important. But the one thing that I think showed with that campaign, it was great that the government put in all that money and it's fantastic, but it meant it was only that one weekend. So obviously there's a lot more people since then. We know domestic abuse has gone up, you know, people have had fallouts with their families, there's been relationship breakdowns, all of that has happened since that weekend. They weren't, unfortunately, in that category. So that's why we have to be there for those people that have, you know, they weren't sleeping rough that weekend. They just weren't able to take that opportunity. So that's been quite shocking to see as well.
Mm, totally, yeah. And it's, yeah, like you say, it's sort of there's more stuff that's going on, you know, maybe that people don't necessarily realise, you know, that's quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And so what do you think sets Porchlight apart from other charities in the area, you know, being a Kent-based charity?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, we work with a lot of partner organisations, and I think that's what Porchlight prides itself on, as it should, that we work so well with other organisations. You know, it's not about, you know, it's just us and that's it. We have to work with other, like, homeless charities and other organisations very closely, and that's what we do really well. But one thing I would say with Porchlight is that we are all about offering the long-term solutions. So, yes, night shelters, amazing. Of course, they serve a purpose. But we are more about kind of offering that hot meal and a bed. It's more about looking at, you know, the longer term, again, of where that person wants to be and wants to get to in their life. And, you know, we have, like I said, supported accommodations in Canterbury, in Thanet, in Folkestone, and they can live there from anything from like 6 months to up to 2 years.
Nice.
You know, so it's quite a long time, because everyone's completely different and everyone's trauma from sleeping rough is going to be completely different. So I think it's just about looking at the individual and kind of how we can best support them. And there's no pressure at all. You know, it's about, you know, giving them the opportunities and the tools that they need to kind of, like, yeah, get back to where they want to be.
Yeah, that's really amazing. That's really cool. And what does a sort of typical day look like for you guys at the charity? Obviously, there's, you know, some of the team that goes out at 5:30 in the morning and, you know, does the amazing work they do there. But what's sort of like a typical day look like for you guys?
Yeah, for me, fundraising is pretty 9 to 5. Although saying that, you know, I will be required some evenings to do talks, which I do to a lot of Rotary clubs. Got a super early morning one tomorrow at 7:30 to a Rotary club. But again, it's all on Zoom, so it's fine. But some of our other workers, so people that have gone into our more kind of supported accommodations, they are then assigned with someone called a coach. And this is the person that, you know, they'll help them with, you know, if they need to access like universal credit or those kind of things, or, you know, get them back into education. Their shifts, I think, are from anything from like 10 a.m. till 10:30. So yeah, the days can look very different for a lot of people. I'm hoping, again, as things go back to normal, I'm going to be shadowing a bit more of those kind of job roles, because I think, again, it's really important for me to understand what they do, so when I talk to people, I can let them know how great everyone is that works in Porchlight and what an amazing job they all do. And they do.
Yeah, nice. And then, yeah, like I said, there's clearly more services that, you know, it's, you kind of think of one thing of like, oh, Porchlight does this, but like, it's quite clear to see that there's actually loads of stuff that's sort of, you know, hidden behind the scenes. And, you know, it, whether it's like you say, getting people back into education even, you know, or something like that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm, nice. And so, you know, I've seen that not only are sort of like people like myself, like raising money for you and Kez, my co-host, who unfortunately couldn't make it today. We've sort of seen a few people doing the 100 miles in May challenge, but also like other people doing the 5K style challenge. Is that right as well?
That's right. Yeah, there's 5K May that's happening at the moment. I'm actually doing mine today. I've got it on my to-do list and I will be doing it today.
Nice. Yeah, that's good for it.
Exactly. Well, it's not raining. I'm going to do it with my little boy and my dog. But it's super easy to do, because you can run, you can walk, you can skip, you can hop, you can rock, you can do whatever you want to do, you can do it in your pace. It's super easy to do. All you have to do is donate £5 to Porchlight and then nominate 5 people as well to do the challenge. And like I said, anyone can do it. So rope your friends and your family.
Yeah.
And then tag us in any posts as well. So our social media is Porchlight1974. So just tag us in that, and then we will do our best to repost your stories as well. And I think really important to point out that £5, so just £5, that could actually fund one of the calls to our helpline, which is like a really vital service. So, yeah.
Right. Amazing. And that's something, funny enough, I did last year was a 5K style challenge, and I decided to run it. And it was, I think it was the first time I'd ever run that far, ever. So
that
for me, it was,
fun,
yeah, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was tough, you know, it was pretty hardcore. Yeah. But I think I hadn't run since school or something. And even then I wasn't very good at it, you know, but
running's hard.
It was really difficult, but luckily where I live in Whitstable, it's just like, right across the promenade, keep going. And then, you know, when it beeps at halfway, turn back, all good.
Yeah.
So it was all right in the end. And then me and Kez, we decided to do a 10K run later on in the year as another fitness challenge of ours, you know. And yeah, we thought like, well, yeah, let's do it. Let's double it. Why not? And that was even harder still. Who knew? But
it's so, yeah. Really hard. Yeah, I did a half marathon 2 years ago now. Right. And I'm actually doing another half marathon now for Porchlight in October. And nice. I've got to say, apart from giving birth, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. But
that's up there. That's there.
The achievement that you have from finishing it is euphoric. And yeah. Again, you know, if anyone wants to sign up and do that for Porchlight, we still have places left. And it's right. A really nice route because it's in central London. So
cool. They
close off most of the roads. It's running through kind of Hyde Park. So the actual run itself is, it takes your mind off the pain a little bit because you've got quite a nice backdrop.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a great sense of achievement. And you get a medal at the end. So,
great.
I mean, what more could you want?
Exactly that, yeah. That's amazing. And so, yeah, you mentioned there that, you know, £5 can sort of go a long way within Porchlight. And with the money that's raised, I mean, where does that sort of money go and sort of how is it sort of distributed, you know?
Yeah, well, we look at the services that need it the most at that time. Mm. And I mean, at the moment, what we're seeing a dramatic increase is to obviously the helpline. Yeah. So that's obviously probably where it would go. But it depends kind of what services are in demand the most at that time. Mm. I mean, sometimes there is the option we do have, you know, the odd fundraiser that wants it restricted to a service. So if there's a specific service, you know, it might be that people really want it to go to BU, so that service that I was talking about earlier, and we can actually restrict it to that service upon the fundraiser's request. So yeah, we're happy to do that.
That's cool. That's amazing. That's really wicked. And and so with everything changing all the time and hopefully with, you know, things easing and stuff, what plans have you got for the future as we hopefully come out of lockdown, restrictions start easing?
Yeah, what I'd love to see is, I haven't seen one in action yet and I really want to, is we do something called a sponsored sleep out. So before we've had schools do it, companies, Rotary clubs, so they sleep out for the night in order to raise money for us. And I think what's really important is it gives insight into what it's like sleeping rough. I can't wait to do mine because I just think it's going to be such a, you know, it's such an important experience for me to do as well for working for Porchlight.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of those in action. I think we might have one in June that's going ahead with the school.
Okay.
But I have to say, last year it was fantastic to see people who had them booked in, and obviously due to restrictions they couldn't do it. There's people camping in their gardens, sleeping in their bathtubs, you know, sleeping on the sofa, all those kind of things. So
yeah,
it'd be really nice to see some in action, but really inspiring to see people doing them virtually last year as well. I think it was really good.
Yeah, that's a really, it's an interesting, you know, it's good insight, as you say, like to getting like a one night version of what people are experiencing every day. But great that everyone was able to do it in, like you say, in a COVID safe and, you know, a virtual environment of like, say, gardens and bathtubs and stuff like that. That's a really great way of, you know, keeping that alive and keeping that going. That's really awesome. Nice. And so if people want to get involved by, you know, like volunteering even, not just fundraising and stuff, what is it people can do to help?
So I actually had a little look at see what opportunities we had at the moment, because again, obviously due to restrictions, I don't think we did any volunteering last year, but going forward, you know, there definitely will be some opportunities. But there is actually a social media volunteer role that is available at the moment. So if anyone is interested in that, they can contact volunteer@porchlight.org.uk just to get a bit more information. But one thing I would say with the volunteering is I know that they are really flexible, and also they offer the same kind of training as what I'd get, even though I'm paid for staff. So, you know, they really, really value their volunteers. And I think that's really, really important in a charity to do that. So,
that's really amazing. That's really cool. And we'll put all of the notes of things for on our show links and stuff. And so, if people do want to get involved, they easily can get those links. That's really cool.
Yes.
So you mentioned the socials there. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so we are on all the normal channels, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think we're on LinkedIn as well. And our handle is Porchlight1974. For all of them. So pretty easy to find. And we've also got a newsletter, so if people are kind of interested and they want to keep up to date with what's going on, do sign up for that. That's always gives you information. We've got blogs on there, and it's very good for keeping up to date with what's going on at the moment.
Nice. Very cool. Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing there for really to say other than thank you very much, Sophie, for joining us on the show. And yeah, keep up the amazing work that you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me. It was very nice talking to you.
No, and you, and you. All the best.
Cool. Thanks.
So what an amazing chat there with Sophie. You know, thank you so much again, Sophie, for chatting to us and, you know, giving up some of your time to let our listeners know exactly what will be happening, what the charity is doing, and where the money that they're donating will go to. You know, it's quite interesting to think that such a small amount of money can go quite a long way. For example, she mentioned there that just £5 could fund the cost of a phone call to the helpline, letting someone in crisis know that they're not alone. And I've got the pack here, the fundraising pack. So for example, £25 could support like a basic starter pack for food and toiletries and helping someone feel cared for on their first night in one of the hostels that they're working with. You know, if we get as high as, say, £500, for example, we could cover a rent deposit for someone who's moving on from portside accommodation into their very own place, which is amazing. And just something as simple as, you know, our target's £150. And for just over that £150 target, we could help fund a rough sleeper worker for a day who would go out, meet people who are sleeping rough and offering them advice and starting the process to help them move away from the streets. So, you know, every pound really does go a massive, massive way. So, you know, we're fingers crossed we're going to get to our £150 target, and we're so, so close. So, so close. So, yeah, so thank you, everybody. So, you know, hopefully this little episode really gives an insight as to where this money's going and how far it's going to go. So thank you so much again. You know, we love you guys lots. Without further ado, everyone, I think it's time for some good news.
It's time for good news.
Thanks, Kez, from your busy schedule to sing a little jingle for me. You are the best. So let's get on with some good news from around the world. Some of you may remember that we had a story last year, I believe it was, which is looking at Rudy's Vegan Butcher, which is the UK's first vegan butchery. And it just, you know, it's been selling out. It's been doing really, really well. It's now opened a store over in Selfridges in London. A brand new counter is open 7 days a week in the Selfridges Food Hall and selling a range of meat-free products like vegan bacon and sausages and alternatives to classic charcuterie favourites like pastrami, salami, all weighed and sliced for you. So, you know, the fact that there's even like a weighing and slicing process, like it feels like exactly the same. It's really cool. And Rudy's is also serving a deli menu in store with American-style diner dishes available on the go, like mac and cheese and the brand's legendary Reuben sandwich. So I'm really intrigued to try that. And I'm going to be in London very soon seeing a socially distant show. So I might have to, you know, merge my way over that way. That should be really cool. So if I get a chance to do that, I'll let you know how it goes. Bangkok has an adoptable puppy cafe where people can rescue or foster dogs. The adoptable puppy cafe has helped at least 150 dogs find a new life. How cool is that? That's really wicked. I'm really into that and pretty good news. Belgian police collect over 22,000 firearms and decided to do something useful with them by melting them into recycled steel. Now, I didn't realise that that was even a thing in Belgium, that there was that many firearms, you know, not readily available, but were in the country. And they've collected them, quite a lot of them, 22,000, that's incredible. And, you know, using them to do some good, recycle them into steel to be used to better use. So that's amazing good news. So well done to the Belgian police. Slightly icky, disgusting news. Sweat tech is coming. New technology that would use biofuel energy in our sweat to power wearable gadgets has been discovered by researchers in Tokyo. So imagine like you're working out or you're, you know, doing something, whatever it may be, you're powering your watch, for example. You know, that's going to give you the incentive to do more exercise, get out and about more. That's really, really cool. If not a little bit disgusting. But I'm into it. That's great news. That's really cool. Britain will ban conversion therapy and provide more support to those in the LGBT community who have undergone the treatment. That, what, incredible. I'm really into that. Well done to the UK. And hopefully will be the start of, yeah, like an important conversation moving forward and hopefully bring about something that other countries can follow suit. So fingers crossed. So an amazing first step in the right direction. Well done, guys. A chimp named Tarzan is finally rescued after being illegally held captive for 25 years in Congo in Africa. How unimaginable is that from a chimp's point of view to be held captive for 25 years? That's unimaginable. And then to be finally rescued, that must have been such a, you know, relief. And obviously, I'm sure there's going to be a bit of a process, isn't there, you know, of rehabilitating and sort of gaining trust and I don't know what the story is going to be for Tarzan the chimp, whether it's going to be getting him back into the wild or just giving him just a really decent life going forward. But, you know, well done to the guys there who have finally rescued Tarzan from illegal captivity. Well done, everybody. The Seychelles, an amazing and beautiful part of the world, an archipelago in the Indian Ocean, has established a marine reserve twice the size of Great Britain. Bonkers. You know, the Seychelles is just such a beautiful, incredible place to be and to visit and stuff. And the conservation efforts they've got going on there.
Conservation conversation.
Thanks, Kez. It's just amazing, you know, and to see that they're doing something twice the size of the UK, that's cool. I'm really into that. So well done, everybody. And finally, a nice little bit of more local and close to home good news. My brother, who has been doing some photography-based stuff for Mental Health Awareness Week last week, he has been looking into, basically he put a poll out to see if people wanted to do like a photography walk. By that, you're kind of walking and taking photos and he'd be teaching you stuff. Now, you don't necessarily have to own a really, really fancy camera, but just learning some stuff along the way. And you could just bring a notebook and be like, oh, right, cool. When I do get a camera, if I don't have one right now, then that's something for me to take forward. For Mental Health Awareness Week, my brother Jack, on his handle on Instagram, at jpeilow, P-E-I-L-O-W, he is using this platform, using his platform to teach people in a socially distanced way for free, which is amazing. So if you're interested in photography, if you're interested in learning about photography, if you've been doing it for a while, just want to kind of hone your skills and learn some other tips from someone who's been doing it for a long time now, you know, and you want to just sort of hang out with like-minded individuals, this is the thing for you. So go into his Instagram handle, at jpeilow, and you'll find his photography page. You can see all the photos he's been taking. And yeah, you can go to his Eventbrite page from his link in his bio. And yeah, you can find out a bit more about that information. So if that's something that you're into, go check that out. I definitely implore you to do so. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Hopefully you found this episode really informative and, you know, hopefully it's given you like a real insight as to, you know, where the money's going that we're raising for this time around for our fitness challenge. So don't forget, if you want to go and check out Porchlight and find out more, if you want to volunteer or if you just want to get involved, check them out at porchlight.org.uk. And you can find them on their socials, as Sophie said, at Porchlight1974, where you can find all their fundraising efforts. And don't forget, if you can donate, I know times are tough, but if you can donate, just go over to www.gofundme.com/F/100milesinmay challenge. Or just go into our socials and check our bio links. So if you want to find us on our socials and find out how we're doing with our challenge, it's really easy. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at 2ppodcast and on facebook.com/2ppod. You can visit our website, which is 2ppodcast.com, and get in touch with us via email. Just email hello@2ppodcast.com. Please get in touch, everybody. We love to read all of your messages. And if you enjoy the show, leave us a review. It really helps us out to reach as many people as we can to spread that sweet positivity. And tell your friends and family too, because word of mouth is so, so important. Because word of mouth is as cool as getting your first jab and restrictions lifting. It's all positive. It's only good things. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Peace and love. I've been 2 peas in the pod. I've been Ben P. And we'll see you next week.